This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. At 5:45, we'll have our Bet 365 triple option feature. Jeff Nowak will join us. Jeff will take it from 6 to 8 tonight. Steve's got the day off. And I want to tell everybody, we will keep you up to date with anything breaking weather-wise right here on the Big 870. You just heard Alexander Crawford talk to us about the weather, and we'll give you those updates on the hour. But starting at 6:30 and at 7:30, we'll be giving you updates then. That's kind of where they're projecting. We will start to see this weather hit a little harder in our area. I know here on the bayou, it hasn't really rained, but a little bit of a drizzle, but that's fixing to change. And we heard Tim Brando just a few minutes ago talk about the inclement weather that they were experiencing up in North Louisiana, where there was a tornado that touched down, went back up in the sky. So they were very fortunate that that didn't stay on the ground for any length of time. A little after 5:20, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave will be on with us, John Sumrall, and talk to us about spring. And his job never ends because this transfer portal stuff, people leaving and coming and trying to build his team back up, we'll have him on to talk about it. And I think just kind of reading between the lines with Coach Sumrall, he basically likes what he saw on defense, but needs some tweaking on the offensive side of the football. Charlie, one of the things you and I were talking about off the air was the fact that there has not been a defending NBA champ that has gotten out of the second round of the playoffs since 2019. That ain't yesterday. That ain't just a couple years now. I don't think it'll happen with Boston. But, man, it's an intriguing stat that these defending champs, everybody has seen you. It's an ever-changing league. Now, the Celtics have been able to keep that nucleus kind of intact, and that's why I think that that's not going to apply to them. But, man, after what you watched last night with the Knicks, you wonder a little bit. You think about that stat that kind of pops in your head. 2019 is the last year that a defending champ got out of the second round.
Yeah, 2020, the Raptors lost 4-2 in the second round. 2021, the Lakers lost 4-2 in the first round. The Bucks lost 4-3 in the second round in 2022. 2023, the Warriors lost 4-2 in the second round. And then most recently, 2024, you remember that the Nuggets lost in the second round to the Timberwolves in a really tough seven-game series. So it's one of the weirder stats out there, Mike, in recent history that basically the past half decade, none of the defending champions have made it to the conference finals the very next year. Granted, as you kind of mentioned, I think the Celtics will break that trend despite losing that first game to the Knicks, but it is something to kind of monitor. It's a weird stat for sure.
No question about it. Charlie, I have a texter asked about, and I know he's a big Ohio State fan, what do you think about the Buckeyes this year? And as I told Tim, when you lose 15 guys to the NFL, And that's drafted players. I'm not talking about the four others that signed as undrafted players. If you're going to catch them, you better catch them early. The one thing that I do know, I think, is certainly a signature game early on. Texas goes on the road to play the Buckeyes. No, okay, that's a big game, and Ohio State has it in their backyard. But, man, Texas, they lost some guys, but not to that extent of what happened at Ohio State. And the one thing you can say about Ryan Day and his staff, Brian Hartline, is there a better recruiter of wide receivers over a period of time? And you know, we brag about what's happened at LSU, but they've had a couple different wide receiver coaches. Brian Hartline has stayed there for a long period of time, and look, the guys, they've churned out year in, year out. As the season goes along, that talent playing together, getting in unison, is going to be a better team. I don't see them getting back to that level just because you've lost so much. And a great example is what happened to Michigan this year.
Yeah.
Now, they did lose their head coach, and you lost a ton of guys. I think it was 14 to the NFL.
Yes.
But my thing about it is difficult to just kind of retool a roster that quickly without having a little bit of a drop-off. I think the team to beat is Penn State. They returned their starting quarterback. They've got a running game. You got some offensive line help that's really good. You do lose Abdul Carter, who is a tremendous player coming off the edge. You lost your two safeties. You lost Tyler Warren.
Yep.
So you better find somebody that can catch the ball other than the receivers, because them cats, they couldn't get open for nothing last year. But I think Penn State may be the team to beat, so to speak, in the Big Ten. And Michigan's got a young puppy at quarterback, all of 18 years old. How he'll handle that and some of the ups and downs that all quarterbacks go through. We saw it the first year even with Jaden Daniels. Even with the experience he had at Arizona State, he was not the same Jaden Daniels 1 year later. Joe Burrow comes in from Ohio State, and he was a good player at LSU. He became one of the all-time greats the next year. How Bryce will be in year one, I think, to me, it's Penn State's opportunity to win that conference. It's going to be what happens in the SEC with a Georgia team that you know or is always loaded on defense. What happens to Tennessee, which had a really good front seven defensively? They lose their starting quarterback. What happens with LSU with that early schedule? Can their offensive line come around? To me, Georgia, Alabama, Texas. And I think LSU's pressing the envelope there at that four spot to get in. Those four teams, to me, still seem to be the teams that can get in. If I knew GJ was healthy at Florida, and I think Napier's done a really good job recruiting there, they got a breakthrough. He's a possibility, too. But I still think Georgia, Texas, Alabama, LSU, still at the top of the heap.
So here's the thing about Ohio State. It's not just that they lost 14 players, but the quality of players. Like, half of those players, seven players drafted in the first two rounds of this past year's NFL draft, with Mecca Buka going at pick 19, the wide receiver to Tampa Bay, the guard that also played tackle because, you know, Josh Simmons got hurt. Donovan Jackson goes 24 to Minnesota. Tyleek Williams, who's just a brick wall up front in the run game, went 28 to Detroit. Offensive tackle Josh Simmons went 32 to Kansas City. And then Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, their star running back duo, went in the second round. JT Tuimoloau, a stud in the defensive line, went in the second round as well. They lost so much talent. So it's not just the 14 players, which tied a record in the NFL draft, but it's also the high level of players that went in the top two rounds. It's going to be hard to reload for Ohio State. I know that everyone likes to say the next man up thing, but you're losing a lot of really talented players.
Yeah.
That's not even including the quarterback, Will Howard, that also got drafted in the sixth round by Pittsburgh. So, you know, they lost a lot, Mike. So I agree with you. I think that if you're looking at the Big Ten at a glance, it's probably Penn State returning Drew Aller. I know you lose a couple of real star players there as well, but you feel pretty good about him in the run game, the two running backs that returned instead of entering their names in the 2025 draft. And then, yeah, with the SEC, it's the usual suspects, Mike. But that's one thing that has, I think, a lot of LSU fans excited, is that, you know, having a seasoned quarterback is such a step up an advantage in you know, kind of the modern era of college football. And having Garrett Nussmeier, you know, I think LSU is really going all in this season to make that 12-team college football playoff. And I think that they do have a shot, legitimately, because of Nussmeier, because of the offense, a retooled defense with adding new pieces up front. It's going to be a new-look defensive line, but it's one that we've heard a lot of great things about. They said the safety position wasn't looking great, so they addressed that as well in the transfer portal. So it's going to be definitely interesting, Mike, but I'm right there with you. I think that Ohio State may take a step back this year just based off of the level of talent that they lost.
And the one thing with Georgia and Texas and Alabama and LSU, man, those cats recruit. And not only high school kids, I'm talking about in the transfer portal too. I'm interested to watch South Carolina because, come on, they can't be better on defense than they were a year ago. I mean, three quarters of those guys are playing in the NFL. That to me, sometimes people don't get it. It is really difficult when you lose NFL caliber players that are that good. Now, they do have the quarterback, and he gives them a shot. And that freshman pass rusher, it was watch out every time he got on the field. But it's the other pieces of the puzzle here for South Carolina. I think what gives even Billy Napier at Florida an opportunity is you got it now a young quarterback with experience. They got talent at running back and wide receiver. Is can they win up front? I think that's going to be the big question for Florida is can they win in the trenches, which at one time was the strength of their team. You can't really say that over the last few years. But Billy and company has put a lot of emphasis on that the last 2 years and their recruiting cycle this past season. We'll be back, and we'll have on with us the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes. Want to tell everybody, keep your dial tuned into the Big 870 WWL. We'll give you all the weather updates as it happens, and we'll give it to you on the top hour news. And then starting at 6:30 and 7:30, we'll give you interruptions of sports talk to tell you about the weather events that is going to affect our area. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave on our Tulane Tuesday, Coach John Sumrall. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mike, I appreciate y'all having me on, man. Hope all is well.
Coach, I'm reading between the lines with you because I kind of heard your last press conference after the spring. I think you please. Well, no coaches please. I got them in my family. They, you know, you could give them the Pro Bowl team. They wouldn't be pleased. But that this the nature of the business. But I think you like what you have on the defensive side, the football. And I think you sort of expressed that. I think the concerns for you are much more on the offensive side. Would I be reading that correctly?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Me, you know, very different than a year ago this time. A year ago this time, we added five defensive starters in the transfer portal in May and June, where this year I feel like we're much closer to being whole defensively as we went through spring practice. We went through spring practice, and I felt like defensively we have the pieces to maybe be more prepared to play the high level right now going into the season than we did a year ago. Now, there's still plenty of days in spring practice where the offense got the better end of the day. I mean, there was really going into the spring game, the offense played a lot better than the defense for about 3 or 4 days, and the defense rose up on the spring game day. But our offense got a little ways to go. I think, you know, we lost a lot of production in regards to offensive skill players. I mean, we lost, you know, our starting running back and our number one pass catching tight end and all three receivers to graduation. And so a lot less knowns on the offensive side of the football right now, which, you know, there's some growing pains there, but I think we're heading the right direction on that side as well. We just got a little bit more work to do, I feel like.
Coach, one of the players, and because of a court ruling, Diego Pave, the Vanderbilt quarterback, went to court with this to get an extra year. Mo Westmoreland, who had been at junior college and then at UTEP, also got an extra year out of this. A little bit about Mo and what he could bring to the table, because I really believe he had a shot, had he come out, that he would have been a late-round pick. But understanding that, he decides he's going to get another year of college in and try to raise his draft stock. And I don't put a big stock in, okay, if you're 23 or 24, you overage. What? I know one thing. I was a lot more mature at 24, 25 than I was at 20, 21 and more stable in life. A little bit about Mo and what he could bring to the table defensively.
Yeah, Mo's got real twitch and explosive movements from a pass rush standpoint. You know, he jumps out on film. The early part of our off-season workouts, his ability was very transparent, very obvious, and had a lot of production. You know, like you said, as a junior college player, was an All-American and had a lot of production at UTEP. And then when he had the extra year that was awarded through the junior college ruling, he was a very sought-after guy in the portal. I mean, he had he tripped. He took official visits to Tulane and two Big Ten programs that both played in bowl games last year. And we were able to come out on the right side of that recruiting battle. Mo's got a lot of ability. You know, he's getting his feet settled in within the offense. I'm sorry, the defenses this spring. He's kind of finding his bearings in regards to what we're asking him to do. But you know, he had a lot of sack production, a lot of TFL production at UTEP. And, you know, from the edge rush position, to be able to have a guy that can create some negative plays for the offense is a huge bonus for us. We didn't really have that at times last year. And so I think Mo's in a good spot. He's going to add a lot of value to our defense. I think he's going to grow with what we're asking him to do and put him in positions to be successful.
Coach, at the quarterback position, either you got one or you're looking for one. There is no gray area there. It's either you have it or you don't have it. And I think you're still searching for the right guy here to run your offense. A question would be, is he on your roster today? someone you think could run your offense effectively. And with losing so many pieces, say, as you brought out, at wide receiver, at tight end, and Mekhi Hughes at running back, that's a big set of moccasins for a quarterback to step into.
Yeah, it's big shoes to fill. You know, obviously, a year ago this time, if you'd asked me, our ranking at quarterback, Darian Mintz, who ended up being our starter, was the third guy I would have mentioned to you. And so I think that history doesn't always repeat itself, but I do think a lot of times the best indicator for future success is sometimes past success. And so we went through a full-on quarterback battle last year. And to be honest with you, the guy that had kind of been third in that pecking order through the summer was Darian and won the job. And so we're going to let this thing play out. You know, nobody put themselves in a position that went through spring to win the job outright at this point. Nobody put themselves out of contention to win the job either. And so everybody that's in that room has got a shot of being the guy. The two top guys that took the majority of the reps that went through spring was Donovan Leary and Caden Semenza. You know, Donovan hasn't played a ton of snaps in college. He's got a big-time arm. His brother, Devin, played at NC State and at Kentucky. He's on the practice squad last year with the Baltimore Ravens. He's got real arm talent. You can see him make the throws, and the ball jumps out of his hand. And he's just got to get more comfortable with how we're doing things from an operational standpoint offensively. And then Caden has played more. Caden played four games as a true freshman at Ball State. Mike New is his head coach. Mike used to be here with the Saints and at Tulane previously, and Mike's a good friend. And so Caden played four games as a true freshman in 2023 and then redshirted, started all year last year in 2024, and was the MAC Freshman Player of the Year last year. And so he's got a lot of experience. He's about a 5'11 and a half kid, good arm, runs it decent, and really operates at a high level. So those are the two guys that went to the spring. And we've recently added Brendan Sullivan to the mix. Brendan is just joining us now through this most recent transfer portal window. And Brendan's from Detroit, went to Northwestern out of high school, started some games there during his career, transferred to Iowa, started several games there last year at Iowa. And man, he's a fun addition. You know, he's about a 6'3", 215-pound guy, real competitive nature. And you watch his tape, the way he's one of those quarterbacks that sometimes he plays like a linebacker. And, you know, I thought when we brought him in, I'm like, hey, man, you got to learn how to slide every now and then so you have more longevity. But there was a play, they played Missouri in their bowl game, and he started in that game at the goal line. He goes and tries to run a guy over after running around for a little while. And so he's got a little bit of a competitive edge, a competitive nature about him that I think is going to, you know, help our team. And so those are the three guys that are primary contention for the job today. You know, we'll go through our summer OTAs and start here in a couple weeks, and then we'll go through the training camp for a couple weeks, and then we'll probably have an idea of which guy's going to go out first. And whoever it is, they're going to earn the job. You know, every guy's going to get an opportunity to show what they're made of, and somebody's going to earn it. And it's not going to be given to anybody. And the guy that, you know, takes care of the football, that leads at a high level and competes at a high level, is who will win that job. You know, oftentimes people say that, you know, the team may take on the personality of the coach. I think just as importantly, if not more importantly, to be a great team, you got to be player led, and who better to lead your team than a quarterback? So whoever wins that job, we need that person to step up, and their leadership and personality needs to be something we want the rest of our team to emulate.
Coach, know your tight ends coach a little bit, and know his dad even more. But he was excited when Ty Thompson decided that he would come back to Tulane and that you would put him at the tight end position. A little bit about his progress, because you can see athletically. For me, I mean, he looks like the perfect sort of build for that flex tight end, which we see so much not only in college football but in the NFL too. How was the progress in the spring for Ty Thompson?
Yeah, Ty did some really good things. He had early in spring, to early to mid part of spring, he had a little bit of an injury that set him back, that kept him out. He'll be fine by the back end of the summer. He's still out right now. I mean, he had to have a little procedure done, but nothing that should keep him out for the year or anything. But up until the point where he had to be withheld, Ty had really flashed. You know, Ty is a big, athletic, strong dude, and he's a great competitor. He's a good teammate. And when we got to the end of the season, we got to the bowl game, you know, Ty went in the portal. We let him kind of explore what his quarterback options may be. And then after kind of exploring those options, he and I talked, and I said, look, we'd love to have you back if, and the if was, if you're comfortable fully committing to playing tight end. And that doesn't mean we may have a package for him to take some snaps from center, like a wildcat type package like he ran at times last year. But we felt like, you know, for our team and for his own development, that tight end would be the right next thing to do. And, you know, he really flashed before having to be held out. He's got natural ball skills and instincts catching the football. He's a better route runner than you may think naturally. Like I said, good speed, a smart guy. You know, you think about, he's played quarterback and he learns the system in this offense as a quarterback and mentally knew what to do. So if you can learn what you got to do at quarterback, well, you got to know what everybody's doing. And so he knows the tight end's doing. A lot of times on shifts and motions that may involve the tight end, he'd be looking at the quarterback like, all right, let's go. Like, get me going. And so really, I think he's primed and ready to have a big impact on our team, and I'm excited. He's attacked this move with great urgency and great energy and great passion, and I really think the future's bright for him. And he's the kind of guy, you never know where this could go. I mean, he's got the physical traits that he could play past college if this move sort of works out, if you will.
Coach, before we let you run, I wanted to ask you about Caleb Bransaw. Got drafted in the third round by the Jacksonville Jaguars with the 88th overall selection. You know, he followed you from Troy, 2 years with you at Troy with 19 starts, and then started all 12 games at Tulane, didn't play in the Gasparilla Bowl. But getting drafted in the third round after an incredible combine showing, I know we talked with Gary Smith about this a couple of months back, about, you know, the Tulane prospects that were going into the draft, and we expected Bransaw to get drafted. But going in the third round, I know you had to feel pretty proud about that.
Yeah, so proud of what Caleb's accomplished. You know, he's from Harvest, Alabama. He went to Sparkman High School, which is about 15, 20 minutes from where I grew up. So he and I we're homeboys, man. And so I got to Troy, and he was on the roster there, and I knew about Caleb coming out of high school. And when he went to Troy, I thought, man, what a great fit for him. And we got there, and in 2022 for us, he played outside at corner, and then in 2023 I moved him inside to nickel, and we played him a little bit of practice at safety, but really then we came here, and when I took the job here and he ended up going to the portal after their bowl game, I mean, he had the whole SEC trying to get him, and he said, Coach, I'm going to come to Tulane. I know how you are going to coach me. I know how you're going to use me. I know how you're going to develop me. I know the plan. Like, I've seen y'all's plan to help me continue to get better. And so that was awesome to have him come here with us and do this with us. And he's incredibly talented. You know, obviously you don't run a 4.33 40 without being able to run or whatever he ran at the combine. I was fast. I know that. It's 4.3 something. And he's a good size guy, but man, the two things I'll say about Caleb, number one, he's got a great football IQ. This dude, he had to be overnight in the hospital about a year ago because he had like a throat infection that they needed to treat with some antibiotics. And I go visit him, and he's sitting there watching all the draftable DBs on his iPad from PFF, from Pro Football Focus. He's watching all their snaps and coverage. And he's studying the other good players. And then, you know, the Friday night, so he got drafted on a Friday, right? Well, the Friday before that, we were getting ready to play our spring game, and we had an alumni event from 5 to 7, and the event ends at about 7. I walk out of the office at about 7:30 probably, out behind our stadium. He's on the little mini field behind our facility doing footwork with a bunch of our youngsters, a bunch of our young DBs, working with them on how to do some of the drills we've taught him and he's worked on over the years. And a week later, he's doing that at 7 o'clock on a Friday night, and a week later he gets drafted a Friday night. And so, you know, what Caleb has done in the dark when nobody's watching is why he's getting this opportunity, because he's an extremely hard worker, and I could not be more fired up for him. And really all our guys, we had Michael Robinson get drafted and several other guys sign free agent deals or getting the rookie mini camp tryouts, and so happy for all of them to be chasing their dream of playing professionally. But Caleb's got a bright future, I think. I know it was fun. That third round area, my phone started pinging from a lot of teams at about pick 80. And they're like, hey, if he's there at 88 or if he's here at 90 something, like, we're probably taking him. I'm like, let's go. So I knew that it was about to get real for him in that third round, and so happy for his success.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Wish you the best of luck. No, it's never any downtime for you. But, you know, with the spring out the way, it's on. And at least you get a little bit of rest. I will say this about Caleb. I have watched the Jaguars secondary play.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a chance to play pretty quick in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think he's good enough to play a lot of places. But yeah, they I think they're ready for him to get to work, and you know he'll have a good career and a good start to his career there for sure.
Thanks so much, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank y'all. Roll wave.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Coach John Summerall, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave. When we come back, it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature. Myself along with Charlie Long, Jeff Nowak will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. It's our Bet 365 triple option feature. Jeff, I'll throw it to you first.
Yeah, guys. So, you know, we are still deep in the offseason, but it is about time that we start looking ahead to next NFL season. And Warren Sharp of Sharp Football Analysis put out his own strength of schedule rankings. Now, it's a little different than your typical strength of schedule rankings, because the way that typically works is you look at, okay, how did that team do last year? What's their record? And then you factor that into, okay, which teams face what percentage of wins versus losses from last year? The way that Warren Sharp does it is he uses the Vegas over-under total as the win-loss, which I think is a much more realistic way to do it, because past performance does not indicate future results. It works for investing. It works for sports, right? So the total that you expect that team to win makes a lot more sense in terms of your strength of schedule. And so where do the Saints rank on that list? We could call it ease of schedule, I guess, in this case, because they have the 29th strength of schedule, meaning they have the third easiest schedule in the NFL next season. So when you're talking about the Saints going into next season, a lot of people expect them to struggle, but you're talking about a fourth place schedule. They have a lot of teams on their schedule that are not expected to do well. Interestingly, if I gave you 10 guesses, you probably would not be able to guess which team has the hardest strength of schedule, and it's another team facing a fourth place schedule, and it's the Giants. Because they play in the NFC East, which might be the best division in football, and they don't even get the luxury of playing against themselves. They have to play the Eagles, Cowboys, and Commanders twice. So they have the Giants, who had the third worst record in the NFL last season, going into next year with the most difficult strength of schedule in the league.
That's tough. The other thing, and Bob always tells me, he said, Mike, you're much better picking the schedule ahead of time and the win-loss record than I do. One of the things I put a lot of emphasis on, the opposing quarterbacks. When you play in those gunslinger-type guys, and 2 years ago, that was really not on the schedule much for the Saints. That's why we thought, hey, listen, if they don't have a winning record now, you'll never get it the way it's set up, and you were facing a lot of young quarterbacks that were either rookies or in the second year. I do think the quarterback play and has a lot to say about it, and I know it's the total team game, but you can somewhat play, you know, a half-hearted game, and then a quarterback catch you at the end. You know, he makes a couple plays late in the fourth quarter, and he ends up beating you. That's the thing to watch, how the schedule sets up and the type gunslinger quarterbacks that you got to face. Charlie?
Guys, Micah Butel, who does work for College Baseball Central, posted if the season ended today, I know there's two weekends left in SEC play, the SEC baseball tournament in Hoover, Alabama, LSU would be the four seed in this bracket. And it's a new bracket, guys. You know, Steve and I talked a little bit about this last night, that with Texas and Oklahoma added into the mix, it's different than it was in years past. Years past, it used to be 12 teams make it to Hoover, and the first round was like a single elimination game, and then it goes into a double elimination bracket. This year, all 16 teams from the SEC will make it, and it's just single elimination across the board. So in this format, LSU, who has a 15-9 SEC record, tied with Georgia, but Georgia owns the tiebreaker. I'll get to that in just a second here, would have a double bye into the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament, which would be pretty cool. But at the same time, you know, you'd be playing potentially Vanderbilt, who is the five seed right now. Now, going back to, you know, the tiebreakers, Georgia gets the three seed over LSU because it goes to common opponents. The three common opponents between Georgia and LSU this season were Auburn, Texas, and Oklahoma. Georgia went 5-4 against those teams. LSU went 4-5. So LSU right now, if the season ended today, would be the four seed in the SEC tournament and getting a double bye in Hoover.
Guys, we brag a lot about the state of Louisiana and how many players from this area, you know, get drafted into the NFL. And it's just amazing to me. This sort of drop of a dime state produces so much NFL talent. And this year again, per capita, Louisiana finished number one. They actually had 10 NFL players drafted that grew up in the state of Louisiana. Of a population of, you know, 4.6 million people. And they, that means for one NFL player per 465,776 people, which, man, that's impressive. Georgia finished second. Now, their population is over 10 million, and pressing the 11 mark, they had 22 NFL players, so that's one NFL player per 486,905 individuals in Georgia. You couldn't guess the number three spot. Montana.
Whoa.
Now, here's the thing. Montana has a little more than a million people that live in it. They have two NFL players drafted. So that means you got one NFL player per 542,113 people. And then Alabama's in the third spot with nine players, one NFL player per 558,253. But you think about it. Three states in the South, Louisiana, Georgia, Alabama, they finished 1, 2, and 4. But Montana slipped the wild card in there and got in there because they got two people with a little over a million people living in the state of Montana. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettier along with Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. Jeff and Charlie will return. Keep you dialed in to tuned into the Big 870. We'll have all the weather reports starting on the half hour also right here on the Big 870 WWL.